Hi, good morning, and welcome to the Daisy Take. I'm your host, Daisy Elizabeth, and I want to welcome you here. If you're new here, hi, and welcome, and I hope that you hit that subscribe button or that little check mark and never miss an episode. And if you've been listening, thank you, and I appreciate you so much, and thank you for sticking with me. Information for today's podcast comes from TheGuardian.com, Biography.com, TheDailyBeast.com, Wikipedia.org, LeeSaylor.com. LeeSaylor.com. This episode contains subject matters that may be sensitive to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. So, today on the Daisy Take, we're going to talk about Superman. George Reeves. Was it suicide or murder? I'm very, very interested to know the answer to that question. However, I do not think that we will ever know. We're never going to know it. But it sure was a shock. George Reeves was born January 5th, 1914, in Woodstock, Iowa. Now, in 1935, he joined Pasadena Community Playhouse, and he got his first major film role in Gone with the Wind. Now, George acted in movies and in army training films. In 1951, he took the title role on the popular series, The Adventures of Superman. His mysterious 1959 death was also considered a suicide, but some speculate murder. I have to say, you know, that I do think it was murder too. He was the only son of Dan and Helen Brewer, and they divorced within months of his birth. Shortly after, his mom and him moved to Pasadena, California, where she met and married a man named Frank Besolo. It's Bessolo. I know I'm butchering that, so I do apologize. After graduating from high school, that's when George enrolled in the Pasadena Junior College. And that's where he turned his attention towards music and acting. Playing guitar and performing in high school plays in 1935 at the age of 21. The Pasadena Community Playhouse, and that's when he joined, you know, that was one of the most prestigious things back then, and that was the Pasadena Community Playhouse. And over the next few years, he appeared in dozens of productions. He received his big break in Hollywood by a scouting agent, producer David O. Selznick. And that's where he was cast as Stuart Tarleton in the legendary film Gone with the Wind. And that was starring Vivian Leigh and Clark Gable. That was like a big deal back then, you know. His part in this film led to a contract with Warner Brothers Studio. And that's when they convinced him to change his name and, you know, take the last name Reeves. Now, he earned acclaim for his performance in Gone with the Wind, and he went on to appear, you know, in projects including Tear Gas Squad, Calling All Husbands, A Man at Large. However, in 1943, he landed his first role in the box office hit, Proudly We Hail, in which he played a wounded World War II soldier who falls in love with co-star Claudette Colbert. And shortly after the film's release, Reeves put his career on hold to enlist in the Army, joining the Special Theatrical Unit of the U.S. Army Air Corps. And he appeared in several training films. He did. He appeared in several training films, including a movie on the dangers of venereal disease. Like, he did one of those STD promos, you know, I guess that's what they would be called now. And, you know, like, probably the men back in those days, you know, were just getting it where they could because they were out fighting the war. So, you know. But anyway, he, you know, he talked about the dangers of venereal disease, STDs. And while stationed in New York, a theater director cast him in a small role in the play Winged Victory. And after the show's run on Broadway, he toured the country with that production company. Now, in 1946, at the end of the war, he returned to California. Over the next few years, his only film roles were low-budget embarrassments like Jungle Goddess and Thunder in the Pines. And apparently those were both released in 1948. He directed his efforts towards television work in 1951. And he reluctantly, and from what I understand and from what I read, he really did reluctantly accept the title role in the TV series, The Adventures of Superman, in the fall of 1952. Superman premiered to its highest ratings and equally impressive critical acclaim. And apparently he didn't like wearing the suit. He didn't like wearing the cape. He does have a home, or he did have a home, in Benedict Canyon, where they say to this day that people have shot there and they've used it for movies and whatever else they've used it for, that in the upstairs bedroom, you can see a man wearing a cape, looking like George Reeves, his spirit. When I went to California with my daughter, and that's, you know, couple of years ago, you know, I wanted to go to Benedict Canyon. I wanted to take a picture of his house because I'm really just blown away by George Reeves. You know, I thought he was just this, from the things I've read about him, I thought he was just this really wonderful, brilliant, naive man. And I think he needed a lot of help. And I think he needed people to be there for him. And it's at 1579 Benedict Canyon Drive. And that's in Beverly Hills. So if you ever get the chance to drive by there, send me a picture of that house. Just kidding. But I really did want to stop by there on our tour of Hollywood, and I wanted to take a picture. So he became more and more dissatisfied where his relationship was going and his career was going. He was also burdened by his relationship with his longtime lover, Toni Mannix. Now, you have to understand, Toni Mannix was the common-law wife of Eddie Mannix, the vice president of MGM. And Eddie was a fixer. If something went wrong with the stars, you went to Eddie and he fixed the problem. Now, I don't know what kind of fixer he was. Maybe he was, I've heard, you know, things that I've read that he was in the mafia. He was, you know, into different things. You know, but he was what they called a fixer. I think they even still use that term today. If something goes wrong with a celebrity, they fix it right away because you don't want bad press. Reeves began his relationship with Toni, but then In 1958, he started seeing a socialite, Lenore Lemon. And when he broke off his relationship with Tony, she was enraged and began to harass the new couple, causing Reeves to file restraining orders against his former lover. And this woman did not only become his former lover, she was his lover. She was older than him. The house that he moved Lenore Lemon into was bought by Tony Mannix. That's got to be a slap in the face right there. I mean, I feel bad for the lady because Lenore Lemon was no peach, let me tell you. This woman had issues. She was tough. She was from New York, and she said whatever was on her mind, and she was younger. And I think he was trading in the older model for the newer version, which is something, oh, you know, that really, really frustrates me. It's such a man thing to do, you know, but I'm not saying that against all men. So don't come at me. Don't say I'm a man hater. I love you all, you know. So one night, Reeves died of a gunshot wound to his head in his upstairs bedroom of his home in 1579 Benedict Canyon. Between 1:30 and 2 a.m. on June 16, 1959. Now, this was according to the LAPD. His fiance at the time and some party guests were in the home at the time. Now, she told police, Lenore Lemon told police that she was in the living room with the guests at the time of the shooting. And according to what Lenore had said, he went upstairs because he was mad because she had people over. They were partying. He wanted to get some sleep. He was a little bit older than her. So, you know, when you do the age difference, you have different things, you know. He was a little bit older, and when he walked back upstairs, from what I've read, apparently he said he was going to shoot himself. Or no, she said he's probably going to go up there and shoot himself or commit suicide or something. She said something to that effect, which I thought was very, very fishy. Now, Bill Bliss was one of the guests, and he told Millicent Trent, another guest, after the shot rang out, while Bliss was having a drink, Lenore Lemon came downstairs and said, "Tell them I was down here. Tell them I was down here." I've always had my suspicions that she is the one that shot him. Now, I honestly can't say that for sure because nobody knows what happened except for George, the Lord, and maybe Lenore. But I've always had my suspicions. Now, Lenore Lemon was not like a dainty woman. I think that Tony Mannix was classy and upper class. And I think that Lenore was a little bit more trashy. You know, excuse my expression. She was kicked out of the Stork Club for a fight with another woman. And her notoriety, sorry, and her name in the gossip columns, she loved it. Her parents were outraged. Her mother was hearing stories that she was a whore. That's tough. That's tough to hear. Nobody wants to hear that. And I believe that George and Lenore were two people that never should have met. It could have been a suicide. I know that he was unhappy with his career and he was very, very sad, and he wanted something better, and he wasn't getting the roles, and he felt like he was this older gentleman playing Superman, when little kids in the street would come up to him and punch him and kick him. And, you know, I think at one point a little kid even pointed a gun at him to watch the bullet bounce off of Superman. And I think they reacted that. If you ever get the chance to watch the movie Hollywoodland with Ben Affleck, who played George Reeves, please do. I don't know if it's entirely truthful, but I think it's mostly or partly. It's a very good movie. And I think you would kind of understand more of this man's mentality, because I do feel bad for him. When I was looking up the information for this, it made me feel really sad for him because he was so dissatisfied. Dissatisfied, you know, with his direction, the direction that his career was going. And it's very sad to me. So a number of questionable physical findings were reported by investigators. No fingerprints were recovered from the gun. No gunpowder residue was found on Reeves' hands. And some sources contend that it may have been a lookout, as gunshot residue testing was not routinely performed. So it was probably new at that time, and they didn't perform it. And apparently the bullet that they found that killed Reeves was found in the bedroom ceiling. And the spent shell casing was found under his body. And two additional bullets were embedded in the bedroom floor. Now, all the witnesses agreed that they heard only one gunshot, and there was no signs of forced entry or other physical evidence. And despite unanswered questions, his death was officially ruled a suicide, based on witnesses' statements, physical evidence at the scene, and the autopsy report. I've seen pictures of him after death, and he's laying on a table, and you can see it's not gory, it's not bloody or anything. It's just kind of weird, you know, to see him, you know. And apparently, Lenore Lemon told people that he was depressed by his failed career and inability to find more work. I think that's really sad. His mother thought it was premature to rule his death a suicide, and she retained an attorney, Jerry Geisler, to get the case reopened as a possible homicide. The findings of the second autopsy conducted at Geisler's request were the same as the first, except a series of bruises of unknown origin about the head and body. Now, I think that they kept it a suicide. I don't think they changed the ruling to homicide. A lot of friends and actors of George Reeves told reporters that no one in Hollywood believed it was a suicide. They didn't believe the story. And they wanted a case to be involved with Eddie Mannix, because George had been having an affair for years with his wife, Toni. And people had suggested that Eddie Mannix was rumored to have mafia ties, and he ordered George Reeves killed, because when the breakup happened, that made his wife, Toni, and I don't think they were actually married, but maybe they were, I don't know, but made her very, very unhappy and depressed. And, you know, frankly, there's just too many contradictory pieces. It's like you're putting together a jigsaw puzzle, but you don't have all the pieces, so you just have to go with what you have. Now, after this, Lenore Lemon took off to New York with $4,000 in traveler's checks. And the reason there was $4,000 in traveler's checks is because George Reeves had traveler's checks because they were going to get married. And on their honeymoon, he was going to take her to Mexico, I believe. And he was going to take her over there with $4,000 in traveler's checks. And that was for their honeymoon. And apparently, she took the checks from the house after it was sealed by police. So she snuck in there, got the checks, and then split town. To me, that's sketch. It's very sketchy. You know, I don't think that she was a stand-up gal. I don't think that she was a really, you know, wonderful person. And I don't think that she actually loved George Reeves. I think Tony Mannix loved him, but I don't think that she did. I think that she just was a gold digger and wanted to get things. I have a lot of opinions about this, but I don't know. They're just opinions. That's what they are. Now, the coroner's autopsy took place only after the corpse had been washed thoroughly. And they said it failed to test the powder traces on Reeves' hand. So they said that there was no gunshot residue. I don't know. And he showed no suicidal demeanor. He didn't leave a note and died naked. And that's extremely unusual for a suicide. It's just very sad. It's a very sad story. And I think he wanted more. And I don't think that he was actually getting what he wanted. And that reminds me of the last week's story of Peter Dole. He died naked in front of his Christmas tree. George Reeves dies naked from a bullet to the head. A gunshot wound on his bedroom floor. And they say the house is extremely haunted by his spirit. That, like I said, they've done commercials and they've done like things in the house, movies and stuff, and that you can hear noises in the bedroom. And people have witnessed, who have actually lived there, have witnessed his spirit with his cape on. That's why I wanted to go. I wanted to see George Reeves. So, George, if you're listening, hey, come see me. So, yeah, that's the sad story of George Reeves. You know, he was interred at Mountain View Cemetery and mausoleum in Altadena, California. And I hope I'm saying that right. A-T. ALTDENA. In 1960, he was awarded a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on Hollywood Boulevard. His contributions to the TV industry in 1985, he was named one of the honorees by DC Comics. You know, he's the first Superman. It's very sad. So I hope he's found peace. I want to thank you for joining me today on the Daisy Take. I hope that you have a wonderful weekend and join me here on Monday for Murdered and Missing Monday. Be kind to one another. Love you. Bye.